Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles and the Redemption Time broadcast coming to you again on a Tuesday morning. I do appreciate each one that has taken time to come in and listen to the broadcast today, and I trust that it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Let me give you my church announcements there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is the pastor. We begin our Sunday school at 9:45, our morning worship at 10:45, Sunday evening at 6 and Wednesday evening at 7. We do invite you to come and be in any of these services that you would like to be in. I know the Lord will bless you for coming and being part of these. And then, special announcement, this coming Friday night on the 16th of August, we will be having the Knoxville Independent Baptist Fellowship, and we'll have a group of preachers be getting together there at the church at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and we will have a local preacher that'll preach a little while, and then the guest speaker tonight is Brother Mike Bagwell, and he will be delivering the main message Friday night at that meeting. So we give you an invitation to come, and I know if you are familiar with Brother Bagwell, you'll want to come hear him, and if you're not, you ought to come hear him and hear what this great man of God can do with a few scriptures in the Bible. Well, we want to play you a song, and then we'll be back with today's message, continuing our study on the memorials at Gilgal.
God knows how much mercy I need. When I was out in sin, God showed mercy even then. He gave me one more chance. Supply, I know he'll be thorns and keep me sheltered till the storm passes by. God knows how much mercy
with the Joy Air singing, God knows how much mercy I need, and I'm glad that every day my mercy is needed anew every day, and I'm thankful that God knows just what I need, and he always sends it just in time. Well, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into today's message. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be on this broadcast. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for a country that we can still do this. Thank you for the radio station that sends these messages out to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray today that this message will help somebody. Maybe one of your children that's discouraged and maybe don't know which way to turn. Lord, we've all been there. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and help them. Lord, bless those in the nursing homes and assisted living homes. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and encourage them and help them. And Lord, I pray for the workers in those places that you give them grace to be kind and to see after those folks. Lord, I pray most of all today for the lost that might be listening, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of sin. I pray that today will be the day you'll awaken them, Lord, and speak to them through the Holy Ghost, reveal to them their need to be saved. Father, all that you do, we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, if you'd like to turn with us to the book of Joshua, we're going to look again at some more things about this memorial at Gilgal. We were looking last at the work of Joshua preparing Israel to take over the promised land and to defeat the enemies that held it now so that they could inherit the land that God had promised them. We last looked at the fact that while they're at Gilgal in the camp, before they ever went out on their first battle, of course, that first one being Jericho, he had circumcised all of the males that were born after leaving Egypt, since none of that had been done. And in order to comply with God's commandment, he had ordered that all of them be circumcised at the same time. They were relying totally on God, because had they been attacked, they were unable to defend themselves. And in reality, folks, isn't that the way that we all are? All us children of God, when we're attacked, we really have no defense other than the Word of God and the power of God and our faith in God to believe and to help us through this world. I'm going to tell you, folks, right now is a time that I would hate not to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the days and times that we live in. So many things going on, so much happening. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. And my friend, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ to lean upon, if you can't depend on that mercy that he knows you need, I really don't know how you make it through the day. Because, dear friend, there are times and there are places that we can get to that we just don't know what to do, and there's nothing we can do. And yet, these people relied on God. Nothing happened. They all healed up, and now they are ready to go. So this was a memorial to the reproach being cut away. So then I want you to notice that these memorials were also a memorial to the rolling over resistance. Now, we've already said that the word Gilgal means rolling. And, of course, the nation of Israel was rolling. They were on a roll. They were moving forward in the conquest of the promised land, taking it as their very own, as God had promised that they could do. So then we find that it's also named that because of the rolling of the Jordan, which it was out of its banks tremendously when they came, and yet God made a way that they were able to cross over Jordan. God stopped the flow and miraculously brought them across. And so now today we want to think about rolling over resistance. And if we look at that, we realize that the very first resistance that they had, the very first conquest that they needed to make, was to take the city of Jericho. It was only 8 miles from Gilgal. It was one of the first cities there in the Promised Land that they encountered when they rolled across Jordan. So if we read in chapter 6, verse 1, it said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now then, I want you to notice that God said, "I have given you this city." And yet at the same time, it said that it was straitly shut up. The gates were all shut. There was nothing coming in, nothing going out. And had I been Joshua, I probably would have looked up and said, "Lord, have you seen this place? You have given it to me. Have you seen that those walls, how big they are, how tall they are, how thick they are, and all of the gates are shut? How in the world am I going to be given this city?" Well, Joshua didn't do that. He just waited. Listen, God gave him the instructions on what to do. So this Jericho was a stronghold. Did a little research on it, and what I discovered was, depending on which source you check, that these walls were just of a magnitude that it's almost indescribable. Different ones describe them as different thicknesses and different heights. Some of them say they were as much as 28 feet high. Some of them say 13 to 14 feet high. And we do know that Rahab's house was on that wall. So it was wide enough that houses could be built up there on top of that wall. Not only that, but there were watchtowers that even went higher than the wall. And these things were huge. They were absolutely astounding to think about, to look at, and much less to think about that we're going to get in there. And yet, and the fact that it said that no one came in, no one went out. There was nothing. There was never a time those gates were open that they could slip in. They had to take this thing by force. Of course, God had a different plan, and he's going to give it to Joshua about how to conquer this thing. But they didn't have to come out and they didn't have to go in, because in reality they were self-sufficient inside that city, inside those walls. They had all of the land they needed to raise their food. They had cattle in there. And they had more than enough water. It was fed from about 3 different places through aqueducts, plus one inside the walls. And so they were well supplied. They were well secured. And they were secure in that they had built. Israel had no battering rams. They had nothing to knock those walls down with. They had no cannons to blow a hole through them, as we would have today. They had nothing in order to do this. But What they had to remember was that this battle was not really theirs. When I read this, how that Jericho was straightly shut up, and impregnable. There was no way to get through it, no way to get over it, no way to conquer it. I was reminded that we sometimes are faced with those same situations in our spiritual battle. And I'm also reminded of what we were told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, what we have to understand is that God was going to give Joshua a plan of how to conquer this city. And it was going to make absolutely no sense to the people, I'm sure, of how in the world is God's plan going to work on this. And yet, if you continue reading the story, you'll find that though as unlikely as it seemed, and they carried it out, and lo and behold, it happened just like God said, those walls broke down. Now then, folks, in our spiritual warfare as children of God, we will meet walls just as bad as Jericho in our spiritual path. And we have to do the same thing that Joshua did. We have to listen to God's plan. And we have to remember that we are not fighting this battle in our flesh. We're not fighting it with the flesh. We are fighting against the flesh. And that's one of our enemies. There is the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we have to fight all three of them. And sadly, the flesh is probably the hardest one to defeat because we can never get any rest from it. We carry it around with us. The Apostle Paul talked about in the book of Romans how he could be rid of that body of death that he carried around with him. He's talking about that body of flesh that he went with him everywhere he went and stayed with him no matter what. In another place, he said, that I know I ought to do, I don't do. And that I know I ought not to do, that's what I do. What's he talking about? He's talking about that flesh that he lives in that continues to sin against all trials that we have to bring it in subjection. But we have to remember, we can't do that. It will take the power of God. It will take the spiritual warfare of the Holy Ghost in order to be able to conquer the flesh. We don't war after the flesh, but we are fighting with warfare that is not carnal, but it's mighty through God. Not through us, but through God. He gives us the might to pull down strongholds. And that's exactly what Joshua did. It was a spiritual battle. It was a battle of good and evil. It was a battle of God versus his enemies. And God making this conquest of Jericho possible through the obedience of Joshua and the people of... I thought about, just like you and I, we'll never win the war with fleshly means. And Joshua could have never won this war in the flesh. The walls were too thick. They were too high. They were too well fortified. The people in Jericho were supplied. They didn't have to come out. They could stay there comfortably. And yet God devised a plan. And it didn't seem like much to them. Probably seemed foolish. Told them just to go down there and march around it once every day for 6 days. We're going to get into this later. I've got another message I'm going to do on Jericho. Another series I'll probably do after this one. So I don't want to give too much of it away. We'll get back into it in that series. But I do want to mention this. The plan was for Israel to march around the armed guards and the priests and to carry the ark and to march around the city every day for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, they were to march around it seven times. And on that last lap, they were to shout and blow the trumpets and That's what God told them to do. And when they did that, those walls fell down. You see, friend, it was foolish. Probably to the people, when Joshua came and told them what they were going to do, they probably said, that's foolishness. It won't work. Today, I can tell you that the Bible says that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has determined that men would be saved. I know that the world looks upon preaching and the things of God as being foolish. About why do you do that? Why would you spend the money to put yourself on the radio every week? And why would you do something that you don't even know if anybody's listening or not? I have begged for feedback. I get none. And so I do not know if anybody's listening or not. I've even been tempted to stop this broadcast, but God says, no, you keep going. And so why would you do that? Because through the foolishness of preaching, men will be saved. Now, I don't know if anybody is being saved when they're listening to my broadcast. They may or may not. God said His word would not return void. And so all I can do is preach the word, put it out there, and let God take it and use it however He wants to use it to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may not happen today while I'm preaching, may not happen every week while I'm preaching, but I do believe this. If I put the word out there, at some point God will use it for somebody for whatever He needs to, whether it be to encourage a saint, whether it be to reclaim a wayward saint, or whether it be to claim a sinner out of sin and bring them to a place of salvation. I don't know, but I'm just trusting God. I'm trusting God that if I blow the trumpet, amen, the walls will come down and the battle will be won and Jesus will reach the heart of some soul that they might be saved. I can't save you. I can't do one thing to save anybody, but I can, through the foolishness of preaching, put the word out there, because it's through the preaching and through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save people. So think about these strongholds. You and I have some of them. We have imaginations. We have reasonings. We have disobedience. So how do we defeat our Jericho? First of all, we recognize that it is a spiritual war and not the flesh. Our own ideas, our own imaginations, our own efforts will not work. And then second of all, we have to respect what God says. If you read the account that God gave Joshua of what to do, Joshua did not deviate from that plan one step, not even one footstep. He obeyed it to the letter. Now, God has given us a blueprint of how to be saved, how to live for Him, and how that we should conduct our lives, and how that we can have the victory through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to claim that, in order for that to work for us, we must obey His word. We must go by His pattern. And it wouldn't matter if God had told him to stand on his head and spin barrels on his feet. If that's what God told him to do, if he had done that, those walls would have come down the same. But it was by obedience to His word and doing that which God told him to do, in light of the fact that, I don't know, it doesn't say, nothing's recorded in the Bible about it, but no doubt he faced ridicule when he went back and told those mighty men of war, these men that were used to charging in the face of death and taking cities and killing people and overcoming the enemy and destroying everything in its path. And he said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to march around that city. And I'm sure he may have faced some ridicule, just like I'm sure that some people ridicule this broadcast. You ridicule the church. You ridicule people of God. You ridicule the things that pertain to God. I keep seeing, and of course the liberal world out there wants to make sure that this gets blazed on every avenue that it can be, put the word out that Christianity, people are leaving it by the droves, and that's true, they really are. Churches today are emptying up. That is the churches who really standing by the real Word of God and standing by the real principles of God. They're emptying up fast. Mostly what's there is old folks. The younger generation just doesn't care about these things. They want something that is flashy. They want something that satisfies the flesh. Something that won't take too much of their time. That's what they want. And so today we see these things happening. But I want to tell you, friend, that in no wise diminishes the fact that God said that upon himself he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And it doesn't matter how much the liberals scream and yell that Christianity is dying. Maybe the form of death, a form of Christianity is dying. But I'm going to tell you something. The power of God just as real as it ever was. The Spirit of God can still do everything today that it could do in Joshua's day. And in fact, saving a soul is even a more impressive feat than the walls of Jericho falling down. It's when those old sin shackles fall off of a person that's not saved. And they find new freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom from sin. Freedom from their self. And freedom from all the things that tie them down. You see, the folks told Jesus that they'd never been captive to anybody, and they were right there, right then captive to Rome. So many people today tell you they're free, that they're not captive to anybody, and yet they're captive to habit. They're captive to sin. They're captive to the things of life that blind them to the truth of God and that keep them from the fountain of life, the precious blood of Jesus that was shed yonder on Calvary, that they might be saved. Friend, I've reached the end of my broadcast again. I have just a couple of minutes to spend here. And I always like to close the broadcast out telling you about my Savior who left the portals of glory. He was born yonder in a manger in Bethlehem, born to a little virgin Jew girl, lived a perfect life for approximately 33 and a half years, was taken by cruel men, falsely accused, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was buffeted, he was whipped at the whipping post. Any other man would have died on that whipping post. Bible said that when they got through with him, he didn't even resemble what looked like a human being. Then he went from there, carried that cross as far as he could carry it. And they engaged Simon to finish carrying it up the cross because he couldn't. But he went all the way. He prayed in the garden, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But if there's no other way, thy will be done." And there was no other way. Somebody had to die for our sins, and he was the only one that qualified to pay the sin debt. Therefore, he went to Calvary. They nailed him on that cross. He hung there until he had fulfilled every last thing that was said of him and was prophesied of him. And then at the very end, he dismissed his spirit. They didn't kill him. Death had no hold on him because there was no sin in him. You see, sin is what gives death its power. And there was no sin in him. Therefore, death couldn't touch him. But he willingly submitted himself and gave himself to death. Dismissed his spirit, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And there he died on that cross, was buried. Thank God on the third day he was risen. And then, 40 days later, he ascended. And we know that the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And we know that today men who receive Christ, who believe what I just told you and accept it as their very own, Jesus saves them. Friend, if you've never bowed your heart in humbleness and prayed to God and asked Him to save you, would you do it just now? I know He will.